From our point of view, it was a mixed bag. There was some good and some disappointment for us in the ruling, in the order. We were pleased that they rejected one of the two natural gas plants and that they approved the retirement of two of the coal plants and the other natural gas plants that were requested for retirement. But we were disappointed that they approved the other gas plant and that they're keeping two of the coal plants online for now. But we also, we think the commission did a very thorough analysis and appreciate that. It was a very complex case that involved a whole lot of different issues. And there were some really good outcomes from the case. The fact that they approved all of the solar proposals, which will amount to more than 800 megawatts of solar, and the commission acknowledged that those will lower costs for customers, that was a great step forward. They approved what will be the largest battery in the state when it's built, 125 megawatt battery that will be at the Brown Station. And they acknowledged that batteries will play an increasingly important role as the state transitions away from fossil fuel generation in the years to come. So that was very positive as well. And we were pleased that they approved their demand-side management energy efficiency programs, which will be a great expansion of their current plans. But at the same time, we were disappointed that they didn't push them to go further. We had provided a lot of testimony indicating that their demand-side management programs could be even more ambitious and serve even more customers, provide even more benefits to customers. But they did not direct the utilities to go even beyond what they proposed. But what they propose is will be a big improvement for customers anyway.
Mm-hmm. Let me follow up on your comment about the battery, because I cover a lot of different issues, and I've heard some reference to this, but help me out a little bit with that. So what can that mean? How does that, what's the benefit there?
Batteries will be used, they have a variety of functions they can play for the utility, and as the utilities get more and more renewables, which are intermittent and their output is variable, batteries can be used to absorb some of that renewable generation at times when it might not be needed, and then have it stored for later, say early afternoon, if there's an excess of solar generation that customers don't need, that can be stored in the battery. And then at nighttime, when the sun goes down, the solar array stops producing, they can take the power from the battery rather than ramping up a gas generator. So that's one of the fundamental roles that the batteries can play.
And how far along is that? I guess what I'm asking is that viable now or, you know, years to come, or, you know, where is it, that kind of technology?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's in existence. These LG&EKU currently have, I think, about a 10 megawatt battery at the Brown Station. So this will be about 12 times larger than that battery. But there are utilities in other parts of the country that are already using very large batteries like this. And in many places, they're pairing batteries with either solar plants or wind farms and replacing natural gas generation with these coupled systems. Yeah, so the technology exists, it's in operation, and LG&EKU in this case, they received bids from maybe a dozen developers offering to build these batteries for LG&EKU. And what was ultimately decided was the LG&EKU will build it themselves and own it and operate it themselves. The battery can be used especially to provide power when it's at peak times when energy is most expensive. And so to reduce the need to operate the most expensive power plants, you can take power from the battery instead. And I'm also encouraged because the batteries are very scalable. So you can have the almost equivalent service of a battery in your home or at a grocery store or a hospital or a very, very large battery at the utility's power plant. And the batteries located at the customer sites can be, well, they are linked together, and through communications, they can be linked. And the utility has the potential to control those batteries as a distributed power plant or a virtual power plant. That wasn't included in this plan that the commission approved, but it's an inherent opportunity that we'd like to see the utilities pursue in the future.
Okay. Well, I certainly want to talk about solar. So, and you mentioned it, but so what do you feel are the, I'll call it, feasible and realistic, the future scenario for solar generation?
Well, I anticipate that solar will become more and more available as the years go on. Here in Kentucky, that I think the use of solar will grow exponentially. I mean, as KU and LG&E build these plants, that in itself will represent an exponential growth in solar development in the state. And then more and more customers will be utilizing solar. And we had pushed the utilities through our intervention in this case to go even further in assisting customers to use solar as a resource for the utility as well as a benefit for the customers themselves. And that was not incorporated into the final order. But nevertheless, I foresee that the customer use of solar energy is just going to keep growing exponentially in Kentucky and throughout the country. The prices continue to decline, and the competing rates from the utility continue to go up. And more people are putting in batteries along with their solar arrays here in Kentucky as well as other places. So I think it's something that's just going to continue to grow.
Yeah, one other question about that. And you kind of touched on it with your last comment there, but as far as household, solar generation, for lack of a better term, at the individual household level compared to a solar farm, helping a utility, how do you see that, the kind of the percentage breakdown in that in the years ahead? I guess there's the impression, and maybe it's not right, that you're not seeing as many houses with solar panels as when it, that's not moving along as much as maybe the interest in solar farms to help power plants.
Well, I think there's going to be a mix, and you can certainly put up a lot more solar panels on 100 acres, at one time, and you see them all. If you see it, you see them all in one place, and it makes an impression. That represents lots and lots and lots of individual houses. So what's currently been approved in this order is a very large amount of utility scale solar that will be located at, I think, 6 or 7 sites in, central and western Kentucky. The utility is not focused on helping customers build solar on their properties, but customers are taking the initiative to do it themselves. In our testimony, we showed that if the utilities were proactive about encouraging the use of customers to use solar, solar could grow to be, there could be hundreds of megawatts of customer-sited solar too in the next few years. And based on historic trends, the customers have the rate that customers have been installing solar has been growing exponentially in Kentucky. You may not see it. It's still small. So when something small grows exponentially, it remains small for a while, but then it starts to take off. And so LG&EKU currently have a cap of 1% of their total annual sales or generation can be met through net metering or solar net metering. And so the legislature statute allows them to impose that cap. But we argued in our testimony that that's a discretionary cap, that statute doesn't require them to limit it to 1%. And if they allowed it to grow, solar could grow to be 6 or 8 or 10% of their total energy mix by 2030.